KPR.com/gamechangers.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest Natural Home, located in downtown Lawrence, specializing in toxin-free, customizable natural mattresses, bedding, and sustainably made furniture. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
It's 88 degrees in Lawrence, 93 in Abilene. The time is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence, 91.3 in Junction City. Always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. Coming up in our next half hour, news headlines at 6:30. Then NASA announced its Artemis III crew today. We will speak with one of those members, chosen to be a mission specialist. We will also look a little more closely into the issue of gas prices. War in Iran is taking a financial toll on many, many Americans.
Spending about $125 a week just in gas to get to work and back.
So we'll learn more on the types of sacrifices people are now making so they can fill up their tanks when they need to. Jennifer Ludden has the story coming up on Kansas Public Radio.
Become a KPR sponsor and your business can harness the trust and credibility of public radio. 82% of listeners take action because of an announcement heard on NPR. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
All right, to the west of the KPR listening area, the very far western fringes of the KPR listening area and further on west, a big severe thunderstorm watch has been issued till midnight. I regret to tell you folks in Clay, Cloud, Ottawa, and Saline counties, I know you lived through really dangerous conditions last night. I'm afraid you have another severe thunderstorm watch in effect until midnight. Again, the only counties that really pick us up in a terrestrial way, Clay, Cloud, Ottawa, and Saline, but much of the western part of Kansas is covered by the severe thunderstorm watch tonight until midnight.
Support for N.
Join us from 5 to 9 tomorrow morning on your KPR station's morning edition. We simulcast on KPR 1 and KPR 2. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Lawrence Busker Fest, presenting USA versus Turkey viewing party on June 25th, 4 to 11 p.m. Celebration on New Hampshire Street and viewing party in the Lawrence Arts Center. More at lawrencebuskerfest.com.
We have news headlines coming up in just about 40 seconds. Severe thunderstorm watch till midnight for Clay, Cloud, Ottawa, and Saline counties. The time is 6:30.
Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Stocks were mixed on Wall Street today after companies selling computer chips and other building blocks for the AI industry lost ground. You are listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Heat advisories still in effect throughout the KPR listening area. Severe thunderstorm watch till midnight for Clay, Cloud, and Ottawa counties in the KPR listening area. Family members of crime victims are urging Kansas Governor Laura Kelly to deny recent clemency requests from death row inmates. Family members joined Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach in Wichita today to talk about the requests. 8 of 9 inmates on death row have requested clemency from the governor. A review board will submit a report and recommendations to Kelly, who will make the final decisions. Several of Lynn Denton's family members were killed by James Craig Kaler, who was convicted in 2011. She says the family is asking that Kaler's death sentence be respected in honor of the victims.
I stand to remember their lives, to honor their memory, and to ask that justice for them remain intact.
The governor has not commented on her plans for the clemency requests. There is no time limit or legal requirement for her to decide. State transportation officials are warning drivers about damaged or missing highway signs in parts of Kansas that were struck by storms. Storms with high winds yesterday and last night blew down several signs. The Kansas Department of Transportation says locations in Saline, Ottawa, Lincoln, and Ellsworth counties were affected. People driving along I-70 or I-135 in these counties should be cautious. Missing signs include directional and stop signs. Crews are working to replace them, but officials say it could all take some time since the signs have to be produced and then delivered. If you happen to have a license to fly a drone, and more people than you might think actually do have a license to fly a drone, the federal government has a World Cup warning. Here's Sam Zeff.
The FBI and FAA warned that there will be what the government calls temporary flight restrictions around Arrowhead Stadium during the 6 World Cup matches in Kansas City. It's unknown how many certified drone pilots are in the metro, but across the country, the FAA says, there are almost 500,000. During matches, all aircraft operations, including drones, will be prohibited within a 3 nautical mile radius of the stadium. That's about 3.5 standard miles. Violators face up to a $100,000 fine. Police in Missouri and Kansas have received federal grants to enhance drone detection. I'm Sam Zeff.
It's going to be humid tonight with lows in the mid-70s, 50% chance of showers and storms tomorrow, still humid, highs in the 90s. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
It's All Things
Considered. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Between AI and social media and misinformation, it's good to be skeptical of what you hear. On Morning Edition from NPR News, you get independent reporting.
And tell us what NPR has learned about these back-channel efforts from countries.
Driven by curiosity, not an agenda.
Oh, that part is news to me. What's going on here?
Get the facts every weekday.
Join us beginning at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is what you'll hear on your KPR stations, the very latest national, international, and regional news, starting off your day in an informed way.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Manhattan Free Clinic, working with local partners like Via Christi, Pawnee Mental Health, and area health departments to expand care for uninsured patients. More information at mhkfreeclinic.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us. Coming up in our next few minutes, a little more All Things Considered, on your KPR One stations at 7:01, you'll be hearing news headlines, followed by Stardate, then classical music till 9 o'clock. If you're joining us on KPR2 at 7 o'clock, you will hear Reveal.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu.
Partly cloudy skies tonight. It's going to be humid. Lows in the mid-70s tomorrow. Sunshine, a 50% chance of showers and storms. Humid conditions and highs in the 90s. It's 88 degrees in Lawrence, but it feels like 99. It's 10 minutes before 7.
This is All Things Considered for Loss. From Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, which monitors safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate at progressive.com. Not available in California or from all agents. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
Lawmakers consider a major government surveillance program and immigration enforcement funding. The latest from Capitol Hill on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is the show. Start your day off with the latest news.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, featuring Nick Haines and local guest experts sharing insights and context around major news stories on Week in Review. Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Information at kansascitypbs.org.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, we have news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music followed in turn by Jazz in the Night. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health Primary Care, providing care for patients at every stage of life across northeastern Kansas. More information at lmh.org/primary.
Heat advisory down around Chanute is being allowed to expire. Heat advisory for pretty much everyone else in the KPR listening area in effect till 9 o'clock tonight. The exception, Greater Kansas City Metro, you have a heat advisory till 10 o'clock tonight. Tonight will be humid with a low in the mid-70s. This is KPR and it's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The field is set in California's race for governor. Republican and former Fox News commentator Steve Hilton secured his spot in the general election today. That's according to a race call from the Associated Press. Hilton will face former State Attorney General and U.S. Health Secretary Javier Becerra, a Democrat who secured his nomination last week. Hilton was born in the United Kingdom and worked as an advisor to former British Prime Minister David Cameron. President Trump endorsed him in April. There are nearly twice as many Democrats as Republicans registered in California. No Republican candidate has won statewide in nearly 20 years. Voters across Maine, Nevada, South Carolina, and North Dakota are weighing in on primary elections today, but much of the political world will be focused on Maine's high-stakes U.S. Senate contest. The state is a central part of Democrats' hope to win back the Senate this fall, as NPR's Sage Miller explains.
If Democrats have any chance at winning the Senate majority in November, picking up Maine is all but necessary. That requires flipping the seat away from Republican Senator Susan Collins. She's held the position for 30 years, largely because of her more moderate stance on the Hill. She isn't a Trump loyalist, but she is still a Republican, which means the president's unpopularity nationally and in the state could hurt her. But she's been here before. She's won many competitive elections. And Democrats want this seat. They need this seat.
NPR's Sage Miller reporting. The U.S. says it has begun launching what it calls self-defense strikes against Iran. According to a statement from Central Command, it's in response to yesterday's downing of a U.S. Army Apache helicopter. And, quote, the mission is a proportional response to unjustified Iranian aggression. NPR's Adipa Shivaram has more on the helicopter attack.
Yesterday evening, this helicopter with two pilots that was patrolling the Strait of Hormuz went down near the coast of Oman, and U.S. officials said that they were rescued about 2 hours later. Trump on social media today confirmed that it was in fact Iran that downed that helicopter and said the U.S., quote, must out of necessity respond to this attack. On Iran's side, the Speaker of Iran's parliament posted on X and said, quote, we prefer the language of diplomacy, but we speak other languages far more fluently. Break your commitments and we'll switch to what we speak best.
NPR's Deepa Shivaram reporting. At least 100 people have died from Ebola less than a month after authorities declared an outbreak of the disease in eastern Congo. Attacks on health workers from angry residents, skepticism among some locals, and armed conflict in hotspots continue to challenge efforts to stop the spread. Out of the 550 cases of the disease confirmed, there have been 101 deaths and 19 recoveries. The number of cases is believed to be higher because the outbreak was confirmed weeks late. Another sudden reversal for AI stocks sent Wall Street reeling today. This is NPR News.
Stardate June 9th. Saturn has more moons than any other planet in the solar system, 274 as of this spring. All of the bigger ones are interesting worlds in their own right. Some of them are balls of ice mixed with rock, and they offer some especially eye-catching features. Mimas has a huge impact crater that makes it look like a Star Wars Death Star. It's a third as wide as Mimas itself, with walls 3 miles high and a floor 10 miles deep. It was created by an impact that almost ripped the moon apart. Shockwaves raced all the way around Mimas, creating a jumbled landscape on the opposite side. Iapetus has a couple of giant craters, but it stands out for two other reasons. One is its coloring. One hemisphere is covered with ice, so it's as white as snow. The other is covered with dust that's as dark as charcoal. The other thing that makes it stand out is its shape. It resembles a walnut. A mountain range circles its equator. It's a dozen miles wide and averages about 9 miles high. A region of Dione is marked by cliffs that form bright slashes. The cliffs are up to 1,000 feet high, and they stretch across hundreds of miles. They probably formed as Dione shrank, wrinkling its crust, sculpting an intriguing feature on one of Saturn's moons. Saturn is near our moon at dawn tomorrow. It looks like a bright star to the lower right of the moon, but you need a telescope to see any of the giant planet's ice ball moons. For the University of Texas at Austin MacDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Good evening, I'm Steve Seal. Thank you for tuning in tonight. A few technical problems happening, but I think we're hopefully about to get them straightened out. Sheku Kane Mason, cello here, and Aizata Kane Mason, just two of the multiple Kane Mason siblings who are so musical. And here they are performing together. May Breezes from the Songs Without Words by Felix Mendelssohn. May Breezes on a June evening from the Songs Without Words by Felix Mendelssohn, Sheku Kane Mason, cello, Aizata Kane Mason, piano. Svend-Erik Tarp, T-A-R-P, yes, just like a tarp. Well, he was a Danish composer of the early 20th century, and he lived from 1908 to 1994. And this is his flute concertino. Lena Kildal plays the flute here with the Aarhus Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Tobias Ringborg. Thank you.
Thank you.
From the 20th century Danish composer Svend Erik Tarp. Flute concertino played by flutist Lena Kildahl with the Aarhus Symphony Orchestra conducted by Tobias Ringborg.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the LMH Health Women's Center, offering a variety of women's health services to patients of all ages. More information is available at lmh.org. And Union Station, presenting The Berlin Wall, A World Divided, presented by Chase, featuring over 200 artifacts, personal testimonies, and sections of the Berlin Wall, now open. More information and tickets available at unionstation.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 89 and partly cloudy. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms with a low in the low 70s. It's 89 and partly cloudy. That's KPR weather.
Sir Edward Elgar's? Yeah, how many years have I been doing this? Sir Edward Elgar's Serenade for Strings. I'm just going to get out of the way and let David Zinman and the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra take it away. The Serenade for Strings by Sir Edward Elgar, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, conducted by David Zinman. Lucy Walker is quickly establishing her place as one of the foremost emerging composing voices in Britain, gaining quite a reputation for her vibrant choral writing. She has been hailed by conductor and composer Bob Chilcott, a former member of the King Singers, as full of light and beautifully crafted her music. Here is one of her works. It's her Hymn for Saint Cecilia, the patron saint of music, Saint Cecilia. Anna Lapwood conducts the chapel choir of Pembroke College, Cambridge.
Thank you.
A Hymn for St. Cecilia. That's by the contemporary British composer Lucy Walker. Anna Lapwood conducted and played the organ there as well, and she conducted the chapel choir of Pembroke College, Cambridge.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Lead Center, where tickets are available for upcoming performances, including Lyle Lovett and his acoustic group, folk musician Rhiannon Giddens, and more. Details at lead.ku.edu. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Manhattan Free Clinic, offering care through a variety of morning, midday, afternoon, and evening clinics, thanks to volunteer providers and community support. Details at mhkfreeclinic.com.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 88 and fair. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms with a low in the low 70s. It's 88 and fair. That's KPR weather.
This is a concerto for two orchestras by Handel. He wrote a number of those, and this is his number three in the concerto for two orchestras. They're not competing, though. They're very much playing together in this case. And Jean Lemon is conducting the, I suppose, bisected version of Tafel Musik.
Thank you.
Concerto for Two Orchestras by Handel, his Two Orchestra Concerto number 3, and we heard the group Tafelmusik squaring off there on either side, I suppose, and both parts led by Gene.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 88 and fair. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms with a low in the low 70s. It's 88 and fair. That's KPR weather.
There's a big reason that Dvorak, who's one of the most popular classical composers with American listeners, it's because he wrote a lot of works with the word American in the title. It's almost like he knew exactly what Americans like. There's his American String Quartet, his American Suite, his Symphony No. 9, From the New World. America is implied in that one, but it's not too much of a stretch for most folks. At least I don't think. But there's one more, and that's one that's sometimes overlooked. He also wrote an American quintet. And this chamber work might sound even more American than the quartet. I will propose my theory as to why, and we'll listen to it coming up in the hour ahead.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Congress has approved roughly $70 billion to fund immigration enforcement through the rest of President Trump's term. That's despite objections from Democrats who tried to block more money for ICE and Border Patrol over concerns about their tactics. NPR's Sam Greenglass reports.
The 214-212 House vote caps a months-long debate over immigration policy sparked when officers killed two U.S. citizens in Minneapolis. Democrats secured none of the additional reforms they were demanding in wake of the shootings, like requiring officer-worn body cameras, while Republicans used a special budget maneuver to skirt Democrats and fund ICE and Border Patrol not just for this year, but until 2029. Democrats and even some Republicans worry the unorthodox move allows the agencies to avoid congressional oversight. That's because they won't have to come back to Congress for more money for 3 years. Last year, Republicans used this same tool to send ICE and Border Patrol tens of billions of dollars with few strings. Sam Greenglass, NPR News, Washington.
The U.S. is planning a quarantine facility in Kenya for Americans who've been exposed to Ebola. It sparked protests within the country. Ari Daniel describes the Trump administration's thinking.
The facility is intended for a 21-day voluntary quarantine. If someone remains asymptomatic, they can travel freely. But if not, they may be transported elsewhere for treatment. The State Department says their top priority is, quote, protecting the health of the American people and preventing this Ebola outbreak from reaching our shores. But Naheed Bedelia, who directs Boston University's Center on Emerging Infectious Diseases, has strong reservations.
This is a bad idea. They should just transport people back. It's cheaper, it's safer, it's better for Americans overall.
And that's because, she argues, these individuals could have access to higher quality medical care in the U.S., where they'd be more likely to survive any resulting complications. For NPR News, I'm Ari Daniel.
NASA has named the crew of Artemis 3, embarking on a highly complex mission next year. Central Florida Public Media's Brendan Byrne reports.
NASA's Randy Bresnik is commanding the mission, along with fellow astronauts Frank Rubio and Andre Douglas as mission specialists. European Space Agency astronaut Luca Parmitano will serve as mission pilot. Their mission will test the Orion spacecraft's ability to dock with two lunar landers, designed by SpaceX and Blue Origin. While the mission is staying in low Earth orbit, the future of NASA's lunar plans depend on the success of Artemis 3. Commander Randy Bresnik.
Now, spaceflight is hard, and that's why the most important Artemis mission will always be the next Artemis mission.
Despite an explosion at its launch pad last month, Blue Origin said it will be ready to launch its lander for this mission next year. SpaceX continues to develop its landing vehicle, completing a 12th test flight of Starship last month. For NPR News, I'm Brendan Byrne in Orlando.
And this is NPR News from Washington. The FDA has signed off on the first new sunscreen ingredient for the U.S. market in more than 25 years. Bemotrizinol has long been used in Europe. The FDA says it meets the agency's standards for protecting from dangerous sun rays while causing little irritation. It will initially be sold in the U.S. under the brand name Parasol Shield. Infants whose mothers get the vaccine for RSV while pregnant are much less likely to be hospitalized in their first 3 months. That's according to a new retrospective study. Scott Massioni from member station WYPR has more.
Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine saw vaccine effectiveness at nearly 70% for infants under 90 days whose mothers got the RSV vaccine while pregnant. Vaccine effectiveness was almost 75% for babies 30 days or younger. The results come from a retrospective study looking at data from the last two RSV seasons. RSV is a highly contagious respiratory virus that can be dangerous for babies and people over 65. It's the leading cause of hospitalization for infants in the United States. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends pregnant individuals get the vaccine between 32 and 36 weeks of pregnancy. For NPR News, I'm Scott Massioni.
The industrious beaver is taking center stage in a World Cup-themed contest in Toronto. The Great Beaver Quest challenges visitors to locate 51 beaver statues that have been placed throughout the city. Each has been hand-painted by a different local artist. The city expects 300,000 visitors to descend on Toronto during the World Cup tournament. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds, working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org.
It's classical music on a Tuesday evening. Welcome to it. I'm Steve Seal. Dvorak's American Quartet will be an American piece by a Czech composer, but part of an otherwise pretty American hour that I have for you coming up. The music of Adam Schoenberg, no relation to Arnold. Jean-Baptiste later on, and Amy Beach here with a piece that is named for the bird that, to me, has always had the most magical name, and that is a hermit thrush. This is called A Hermit Thrush at Eve. It's played by Joanne Polk. Thank you. beautifully evocative. It's called A Hermit Thrush at Eve by Amy Beach, played by pianist Joanne Polk.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Union Station, presenting The Berlin Wall, A World Divided, presented by Chase, featuring over 200 artifacts, personal testimonies, and sections of the Berlin Wall, now open. More information and tickets available at unionstation.org. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Manhattan Free Clinic, providing health care to uninsured neighbors since 2005. With the help of volunteers, patients can access care by appointment at locations across Manhattan. Details at mhkfreeclinic.com.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 88 and fair. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms with a low in the low 70s. It's 88 and fair. That's KPR weather.
For a Czech composer, Antonín Dvořák maximized the 3 years that he spent in America to soak up as much as he possibly could about our still young country in the 19th century. Two best-known pieces that he wrote about America would probably be his Symphony No. 9, subtitled From the New World, and his American Quartet. The thing about the American Quartet is that it's often credited with being a showcase for the folk music that he heard while living here, both African-American and Native American folk sounds. The thing is, he didn't quite quote any actual folk songs in that work. It was merely his impression of the sounds that he heard living in America. Technically, he doesn't quote any folk songs in this work either, but the thing about this piece is that I've always felt like the melodies in his American Quintet, lesser-known chamber piece, sound more like American folk music, much more idiomatic of folk sounds one might have heard in America in the 19th century. Here is his American String Quintet with the Parker Quartet, joined here by violist Kim Kashkashian. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
On the name Dvorak's American Quartet is well known. That's his American Quintet in E-flat, Opus 97. The Parker Quartet, joined by second violist Kim Kashkashian.
Thank you.
The movement entitled Prayer from the American Symphony by American composer Adam Schoenberg. Michael Stern led the Kansas City Symphony. This is called Dusk Light Movement by Jean-Baptiste. It takes a special kind of composer to write something with just the barest of compositional elements and make it work. And that is one great example. That's Jean-Baptiste playing his own piece, and it's called Dusk Light Movement.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 86 and fair. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms with a low in the low 70s. It's 86 and fair.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Oyster farmer and Marine veteran Graham Plattner has won Maine's Democratic primary for Senate, setting up a high-stakes race against Republican Senator Susan Collins in November. That's according to a race call from the AP. Plattner has little political experience, but has drawn hundreds of people to rallies around the state. The last week has been marked by a stream of revelations about Plattner's past and social media posts that overshadowed his populist message. Here he is in a speech after the results came in.
I've made mistakes in my life, mistakes that I regret, that I live with, that I continue to learn from. I'm still far from perfect, but every day I wake up and I try to be a little bit better and a little bit kinder than I was the day before.
Democrats see Maine as key to their hopes to win control of the Senate during the final 2 years of President Trump's presidency. Collins is the only Republican senator from New England. The U.S. launched what it calls self-defense strikes against Iran today. According to U.S. Central Command, forces struck Iranian air defense, ground control stations, and radar sites near the Strait of Hormuz. A statement released by the U.S. says the operation was a, quote, proportional response to recent attacks on U.S. forces and international commercial ships transiting regional waters. The strikes came after Iran downed a U.S. Apache helicopter yesterday, as NPR's Deepa Shivaram explains.
Yesterday evening, this helicopter with two pilots that was patrolling the Strait of Hormuz went down near the coast of Oman, and U.S. officials said that they were rescued about 2 hours later. Trump on social media today confirmed that it was in fact Iran that downed that helicopter and said the U.S., quote, must out of necessity respond to this attack. On Iran's side, the Speaker of Iran's parliament posted on X and said, quote, we prefer the language of diplomacy, but we speak other languages far more fluently. Break your commitments and we'll switch to what we speak best.
NPR's Deepa Shivaram reporting. The House has passed a bill to speed up how long it takes newly unionized workers to reach a first contract with their employers. As NPR's Andrea Hsu reports, 20 Republicans joined Democrats to pass the measure.
After a union election, it takes an average of 465 days for workers and employers to reach a first contract. That's according to Bloomberg Law. The Faster Labor Contracts Act cuts that time dramatically. It requires employers to begin contract talks within 10 days of a union election. If there's no deal 90 days later, federal mediators get involved. And if there's still no deal 30 days after that, an arbitration panel steps in to settle the matter. Opponents of the bill call it draconian and argue the government is not in the best position to hammer out deals between private companies and their employees. The measure now heads to the Senate, where it would need 60 votes to pass. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
Another sudden reversal for AI stocks sent Wall Street reeling today. The Nasdaq sank nearly 1%. It's NPR. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney says a new Canadian-built bridge across the Detroit River that President Trump threatened to block will open soon. A ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Gordie Howe International Bridge connecting Ontario and Michigan is set to take place Friday. While the bridge itself is expecting to open to traffic later this month, Trump demanded in February that Canada turn over at least half the ownership of the bridge to the U.S. The Food and Drug Administration has approved a new sunscreen ingredient for the first time in decades. In the United States, sunscreen is regulated as an over-the-counter drug, not as a cosmetic. That can make new approvals tricky. NPR's Sydney Lupkin has more.
Bemotrizinol has long been an active ingredient in sunscreen sold in Europe and Asia. And for the last 20 years, a company called DSM Nutritional Products LLC has been trying to get it approved in the U.S. The FDA announced this week that it added bemotrizinol to the list of permitted sunscreen ingredients. The new ingredient protects against UVA and UVB rays, the agency says, and it's safe to use for adults and children 6 months and older. Products containing this ingredient aren't on store shelves yet, but should be in the next few months. Sydney Lupkin, NPR News.
After nearly 4 years away from professional tennis, Serena Williams has made a winning return at Queen's Club doubles tournament. The 44-year-old Williams showed she still has plenty of power, hitting serves of up to 120 miles an hour. She teamed up with 19-year-old Canadian Victoria Mboko to win their opening match at the grass court tournament. I'm Ryland Barton, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia. For 35 years, sharing what works in schools today and working to inspire new ways to learn tomorrow. More at edutopia.org.
band is James Williams, bassist Ray Brown, drummer Art Blakey, and a James Williams tune called Hammerin'. They were billed as Magical Trio 1, 1987 recording in Japan in this country on MRC Records. Kicking off tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR, we'll have Solo Piano out of the Vinyl Vault from Ray Bryant in just about 20 minutes, an album Solo Flight from back in 1976. And up next, the band Blue Moots, paying tribute to Miles Davis on an album called Directions and Expressions. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Spider Art Constructors, offering custom concrete patio work across the KPR listening area. More information about available services at Spider Art, Spider with a Y, SpiderArtConstructors.com. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night on KPR. In this set, we're going to hear an album from composer and arranger Klaus Wienerreuther, with his music played by the Barbara Bruckmiller Big Band. The album called Trumpet Tales, and all the pieces dedicated to various trumpeters. We'll hear Klaus's composition and arrangement called Miles. But first, it's the Miles Davis tune Biplicity from the new album by the band Blue Moods. Eli Howell playing trombone, saxophonist Diego Rivera, vibraphonist Ben Galise, with Art Hirahara, Boris Koslov, Vinny Spencer-Rodza, piano, bass, and drums. It's Biplicity.